I want to speak to Mike Davison, who's on this line. Good morning, Mike.
Hello there, Frank.
Mike, you're with a group. Is it called the Core Issues Trust? Is
that
right?
Correct, yes.
Yes. And a bit of controversy about a particular cinema that you'd booked to show a film.
Yes.
In the end, deciding not to show your film. Tell me what the film was about, please.
It's called Voices of the Silenced. It was made over 2 years in 8 different countries. It showcases, I guess, the perspectives of almost 40 people. Specifically, it's about men and women who, for whatever reason, have unwanted same-sex attractions and choose to move away from it. And we think that that's a voice and a perspective that is missing in the debate and in our understanding today. So we made a film about it.
Why did you decide to make the film? Because you will be hurting the feelings, to put it mildly, of people who are gay.
Well, what about the feelings of those of the population group that I'm talking about? How do they feel when they're told they're inauthentic or insincere or plain lying or ignorant of societal pressures? This is another minority group, and I think we need to respect all minorities, not just the LGBT minority group, but those who question their sexuality and are exploring the fact that they have found that what is happening to them is inconsistent with more primary values.
The voices of the silence, these people who you're talking about, this particular minority group, do they believe that they can be in some way, and I'm using the term absolutely in inverted commas, do they believe they can be cured from their gay tendencies?
No, they would be very reluctant because, you know, cure has to do with disease. You cure diseases. And I don't think any of them, or certainly none of us, and not Core Issues Trust, would be talking about anybody having some kind of disease in this area. So that's terminology we wouldn't go with. But what they would say is that it hasn't worked for them. They tried gay, or they had those feelings, but they longed for something else. And they found that as they worked on it, maybe it wasn't perfect, but they were able to achieve what they wanted to. So some go on into viable relationships with the opposite sex in every sense of the word. Others don't, but because all of the outcomes are different, they're never guaranteed. But we think it's odd that professionals in the field are being prevented today from respecting the desires and aspirations of this group. It's just too simplistic to say that they are not aware of societal pressures around all of this.
Well, there are societal pressures on most people, but certainly on gay people, and they're being judged, and they're certainly being judged in this country. Where do you stand in relation to a gay couple having sex?
Well, I think that people need to be free and take the responsibility for all of their actions in life. And I wouldn't want to stand in the way of people who want to live in that way. But all I'm saying, and what Core Issues Trust is saying, is that some people do go in that direction, but they regret it, and they want to go in another direction. But it seems to be me to be that it's almost mandatory that if you have these feelings, you have to identify as gay. It's a kind of mandatory homosexuality, but some people just won't wear that. They've done it. It didn't work for them. It's not consistent with values, which may be religious but may not be, and they want to go in another direction. I think we should respect that.
But are you encouraging them to go in another direction? Are you, as a Christian, seeing sinfulness in what they're doing?
Well, if you want to have a theological discussion, I'd be happy to do that.
Well, here's a simple question, and I don't know whether it's a theological discussion or not. Is one man having sex with another man a sin?
Within Orthodox Christianity, yes, clearly. Even the scholars who would be supportive of homosexual relationships will tell you quite clearly that the Bible in itself does not support that. Now, I know there's controversy. Some people will take issue with that. But look at the serious scholars, and all of them will tell you that the Bible does not support those relationships. That doesn't mean that that worldview should be imposed on everyone, but you ask the question, and I think that's the simple answer.
If people are under pressure, are you not putting them under more pressure? You sound like as if you're dealing with people who may be bisexual, as opposed to people who are trying to turn their back on their own sexuality. Are you not putting them under more pressure by providing the core issues trust option for them?
Well, you know, I think we need to give people the respect of knowing their own mind. My first job is to understand why they've come. And if they've come because they're under pressure from a spouse or another family member or from a church, then they're not people who are going to benefit from anything I can offer them, because it's not what they want. I work with people who know their own minds. These are usually quite mature people, people who have made progress in business or in career. They know their own minds. They're not ignorant in that sense. You're right to point out the vulnerabilities that are involved in all of this. There always do need to be checks and balances. But, you know, the position of the mental health bodies today and some people wanting to ban this, I feel is wrong. I feel what we should be doing is regulating it, making sure that people who do the work that I do it according to a standard that is, you know, supervised. But to push people out because they hold a certain set of values and ideas, I think, is a mistake.
And what is the work you do? What process do you put these people through?
It's talking therapy. So they come, we work through the issues, we clarify their goals, we sometimes look at personal histories, we look at things like self-esteem, body image, how they relate to members of the opposite sex, how they relate to members of the same sex. And we work, I hope, in a way that is caring and consistent. So many of the clients I have would be 2 years working on their issues. And as I say, there are always different outcomes. And some might say, okay, this is not for me. I'm happy enough with where I'm at, and I want to go in a different direction. And they need to be free to do that.
Okay, do stay with me, Mike, please. I appreciate your time this morning. I want to speak to Gavin Boyd from the Rainbow Project. Gavin, good morning.
Morning.
Gavin, do you accept there are people who are gay or who are drawn to individuals of the same sex and they feel uncomfortable with it, they want to move away from it, they want to be heterosexual, so the option from the likes of Mike Davidson should be given at least some support?
I would certainly accept that there are people, because of their experiences of homophobia or biphobia, have a difficult time coming to terms with their sexual orientation. And it's not uncommon for people coming to terms with their sexual orientation in a hostile environment to wish that they were straight. The reality is, though, that there is no evidence to suggest that there is any kind of therapeutic intervention which is successful in changing someone's sexual orientation. So the big problem is that people like Mike Davidson and other conversion therapy quacks is that they're holding out a bottle of snake oil for people and saying, I can give you what you want. But the reality is that they're always unsuccessful. there used to be an organization called Exodus International, which is a large international body coordinating conversion therapists. And when it shuttered in 2012, Alan Chambers, who was the head of the organization, said, the majority of people that I have met, and I would say the majority, meaning 99.9% of them, have not experienced a change in their sexual orientation. These therapies cannot work. And when they don't work, the people who have sought these forms of therapeutic intervention are then left with the feeling that they have failed, that if only they loved God more, if only they had prayed harder, if only their parents hadn't damaged them so much when they were children, that they would have been able to successfully do what they were trying to do. So this form of therapeutic intervention is not actually therapy at all. It's a way of shaming people. It's a way of blaming people's parents for their own sexual orientation. It's a way of cutting people off from any form of healthy interaction with their sexual orientation. And it can only ever cause harm and pain, and that's why there's no ethical framework for it to be delivered. That's why there's no reputable medical, psychological, or psychotherapist organization which will undersign it and say this is a valid form of therapy. And Mike Davidson and all his colleagues just need to realize that the only thing that they are doing is hurting vulnerable people, and they need to stop.
Okay, let me put that to Mike Davidson. Mike Davidson, you're shaming people and you're hurting them, according to Gavin Boyd.
Well, Gavin hasn't cited the research correctly. The American Psychological Association says there's no evidence one way or the other. The Royal College of Psychiatrists that he is referring to in some of what he says itself accepts the fact that change does take place. They don't say it can be changed, but it references the fact that things take place and people go in a different direction. So I think if there is an environmental contribution to all of this, we need to be in a position to be able to talk that through.
If you were in a position where you felt uneasy about being heterosexual, would you be open to a therapy to encourage people to be gay?
I want to meet the first individual who wants to go in that direction. I've never met anybody who does want to go in that direction.
And might that not be because heterosexuals are not being persecuted?
I think what we're dealing with here in this, the contrary worldviews that are being expressed here, is a belief on Gavin's part that we're born gay, that this is an established fact, that there are categories of existence, and therefore this is entirely natural and consistent with the way a person comes into the world. That has not been established in the scientific literature. So until it is, I think we need to be very careful to keep the doors open for people who do not want to go in this direction. And to simply write off our work because the ideological position of the mental health bodies has closed down without ever producing peer-reviewed scientific material that says categorically this work is harmful is something that we shouldn't be doing. They always talk about potentially harmful, but all therapies are potentially harmful. Gavin says it is harmful. He's referring to anecdotal evidence that some people come up with, which I don't dispute. But you don't make public policy based on anecdote. You do it on the basis of research, which doesn't exist because it can't exist. You cannot ethically run randomized controlled trials in this area. Even Professor King from the Royal College of Psychiatrists has stated that. There is no ethical body that would support such research. So this is a very difficult area. We cannot close down on my perspective any more than I can afford to close down on their perspective. We have to have diversity in this so that we can have multifaceted research.
And one final question to you, Mike. The film has been banned by the cinema that you'd booked to show it in London, Voices of the Silenced. You can't beat publicity like that for people now wanting to see a film. Do you think more people will now view it as a result of what some would see as censorship, the cinema saying it is not censorship?
Yes, we're very grateful for the attention that it's been given. There was a premiere in a different location last night. There is an issue with cinemas in this way, but it will shortly be available for download on voicesofthesilence.tv, and people are welcome to access it and make up their own minds.
Okay, Mike Davison, thank you for your time this morning. And Gavin, I'll give you the final word, as Mike was first on. You clearly believe, Gavin, people are born gay, they don't grow to be gay.
It's not about being born gay, Frank. I mean, most of us, when we're born, we don't have any attraction to anyone. But our sexual orientation, whether that's towards people of the same sex, the opposite sex, or people of different genders, that presents as part of our development in puberty. Most people tend to become aware of who they're attracted to at some time between 12 and 14 years old. And that's consistent. It's innate. There's no ability to change it. There's no ability to control it. So it's not a sense of being born gay, but it's something that we develop into naturally without any need to change it.
And Voices of the Silenced, do you respect the fact that people are entitled to watch the film, or would you discourage people from viewing it?
I mean, there is no reason for anyone to watch a piece of propaganda that's being put forward by people who have a pathological need to back up their own work without any oversight to it. And anyone who thinks that this is a valid form of therapy just needs to Google the name George Rekers to find out what the godfather of this form of quackery has been up to with the services that he's purchased from young men on the internet.
Okay, Gavin, thank you. Mike Davison, thank you as well. I've got a feeling a film that probably no one had heard about and only a minority of people were interested in will now probably be viewed by people who had given it no consideration, because that's what controversy leads to. But Mike and Gavin, thank you indeed. 18 minutes to 12. Good morning.